the company that invented the LSA is finally back in the market. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. This is a very hot week for anybody interested in light sport aircraft, and in a lot of ancillary industries for that matter. It's the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo in Sebring, Florida. It officially opened yesterday. We have some folks down there, and among them, of course, our editor-in-chief and CEO, Jim Campbell. Jim, welcome in. Thanks for taking a few minutes out, and let's talk about the big story down there, which was Piper's introduction of the Piper Sport.
Yeah, we've had an interesting time watch this get developed because, to be honest, we've known about this for a number of months. We've been talking to some of the Piper folks behind the scenes as the decision processes were undertaken, the legal processes were undertaken, and then the deal was finally signed last Friday. And it's not something they did lightly. It's something that they are not playing me too about. And it's something that they are jumping in with both feet. They've got a good heart to it, too. I mean, it's a business decision and all that. But they see this as something that's just very Piper-ish, that, you know, they've had this tremendous, history as a manufacturer in aviation. They brought out the Piper Cub, for gosh sakes. That, you know, let's face it, what iconic aircraft truly represents GA more than the Piper Cub? So, in updating the LSA image for Piper to a very Cherokee-ish model based on the Czech sport cruiser, although they're tweaking it, you know, to Piper specs and so forth and so on, they're pretty excited about it. And frankly, so are we. We think this was a very good move.
Well, it obviously puts them back in a category they invented in 1937. But I think the question for me looking at the plane is, does it really recapture what the Cub was? I mean, if I was going to try to recapture that feel and that type of flying, would I go for a bubble canopy and a glass panel, or would I go for, say, a carbon Cub with steam gauges?
Well, you know, I think the big thing that they fully understand right now is that the market for the Piper Sport is broad. It mimics, of course, the Cherokee heritage. It's what people want to go from point A to point B in. The Cubs and the Cub replicas are gorgeous airplanes, but I don't think that they spoke the future of Piper so much as something like the Piper Sport will.
All right, now you've flown the plane in its nameplate as a sport cruiser from Czech Aircraft Works. What are your impressions of the plane? How does it stack up against the other LSAs, and does it justify being at the high end of the price range?
Well, you know, at this stage of the game, I'm not sure what justifies the high end of the price range. It's actually not too bad. It's got a base price of 120, 199 or some such. And when you look at some of the other popular aircraft that are out there that are trying to maintain themselves as a premium brand in LSA, it's considerably more expensive. And there's a couple of very good designs that are considerably less expensive. I think 199 is about middle of the pack when it comes to aircraft that you can take seriously. It's a nice little flying airplane. And I know a couple of small changes that Piper is making that definitely meet my approval, especially in pitch mode, some of the things that they're doing with overall handling. Got just tremendous visibility and the bubble canopy and the one little accoutrement that I definitely approve of is Piper's put a little screen across the top so that you're not getting the Florida lens effect. You know, it's no fun being the ant on the other side of the magnifying glass. And they've done just a really nice job of that. They've done some great work on styling. The panels start with a very analog panel for 19.9 all the way up to a pretty tweaked out glass panel, autopilot, and so forth in the 139 range. The high-end range, I think, is a pretty good value. I think they've done a nice job packing it with the goodies. It's a Rotax 912S, the 100 horse. The folks that have gone Continental, I mean, I love the Continental. It's a beautiful engine, so forth and so on. But, you know, Rotax, the 912S is a hard engine to turn down because it can burn auto gas all day long without any problem at all. It can burn aviation fuel. It burns it very, very sparingly. And on top of it, the latest generation, the Rotax 912, has gotten some tweaking itself, especially in regards to start. And they've changed the ignition system a little bit to make starting easier. They've done a couple of other things. And to make a long story short, it's a thoroughly modern LSA with a lot going for it.
Well, it has been pointed out by some people in the past that this airplane, as marketed by the Czech folks, was a great airplane, but the company behind it just didn't have the gravitas in the U.S. market to really make much headway, and yet it still was, I don't know, something like the fourth leading seller. Kevin Gould says that with Piper's brand and distribution network and service network, that is all going to be in the past. It's hard to doubt that. I mean, it looks like they've got a great combination of elements coming together.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm actually more impressed right now with Piper's attitude toward putting this airplane out than anything else out at the moment. We've been working with them, as I said, for over the course of a number of weeks and months. Matter of fact, we were at the factory on Monday shooting the air-to-air that you'll be seeing. It's in their air video, our video, a number of other areas, and I think we're going to do some B-roll for them here and there. But when we talk to them, they're talking about really taking this airplane to the masses. When it comes to LSA marketing, that's a non-existent term. This industry, especially from the light sports segment, still has no clue how to sell itself to the public. I had an interesting talk today with a friend of mine, David Jewell, who a longtime ANN readers may remember as a fellow who did some columns for us in 2000 and 2001. On the business of aviation, and he had this long, crazy acronym, which turned out to be something like ITBOA BNITBOB, which stands for in the business of aviation, but not in the business of business.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me today that he was walking around a number of manufacturers, and he sees salespeople talking to each other. And he walks in, he looks at the aircraft, he looks at them, and nobody seeks to come over and talk to him about, you know, whether or not he's interested in buying an airplane. I personally watched that happen, and then walked away for a second, and somebody came up and said, you know, I'd like some info on your airplane. And the first thing out of the quote-unquote salesman's mouth is, do you have $167,000?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, for a very tweaked-out version of a particular high-wing machine. Piper's smart about this. They'll know how to market. And on top of that, with the Aviol deal and the parts and service agreement and Piper dealers nationwide, that could be a pretty compelling program for not just individual Piper Sport owners, but for Piper Sport operators. We've had some talk with Piper about what they're going to be doing on the educational side, i.e. not just teaching people to fly their own airplanes, but reinvigorating the old Piper training system and so forth. And that's something I've got some particularly solid feelings about. I think they're going to take that very, very seriously. And to be sure, they've got some tough competition there, because Cessna has done a great deal with the Kings, and we've been evaluating their online system for sport pilot, and boy, that's pretty top notch.
All right, well, Jim, when we come back from the break, let's talk for just a moment about an overview of the opening day of the event itself. Jim Campbell is my guest. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no nice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. Paul Plack here talking with Jim Campbell, our editor-in-chief, who is in Sebring, Florida for the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo. Jim, there was some stuff going on other than Piper's new plane. Among them, Garmin apparently got the new G3X into a lot of displays aside from their own.
The G3X now has a number of engine interfaces, and the engine interface itself will be available within a matter of weeks. And they're talking about it being available for Rotax, Continental, Lycoming, and some other mounts. They're looking at a couple interesting things there. The G3X series is continuing to mature. Little pricey compared to some of the other stuff that's out there, but then again, it's Garmin, and you know there's a certain panache to that, as well as the fact that they've got a pretty strong and technically advanced company backing it up, and there's more to it than most. They're also talking about interface with autopilot, specifically a TrueTrack autopilot that will be available shortly, which I believe will be called the GX Pilot, and a number of other things in the works. So, Garmin is taking this part of the market seriously. They've designed a product that will be very competitive. But unlike GA, there are a number of other companies that are embracing LSA instrument and avionics display systems, and some of those companies are doing some compelling work.
Well, the stuff we saw back in the fall from Dynon was particularly impressive at its price point, and interesting to see that it has been chosen for Piper's new sport aircraft.
Indeed. Matter of fact, we have an Aero TV piece up today on the Dynon Skyview system, which its base is under $4,000, which is pretty astounding, especially when you look at the quality and the amount of technology that's packed into that particular system. They've done some phenomenal display work with really nice, bright, readable screens with awfully fast redraws and some very nice work done on the interface issue. And they've definitely packed 5 pounds in a 2-pound bag with that system. So nice stuff. I actually like what I see there.
I guess the big question I'd have in the LSA marketplace in 2010 is, especially with the economy where it is there any sign of the shakeout that everyone says has to come to this segment? Is there any sense that some of the marginal players are falling away?
No, and which is bizarre. I mean, there's a couple operators here, you know, with their pick-em-up trucks and, you know, their U-Hauls, and they're showing off one of the one or two aircraft that they built this year kind of thing. And a few folks that were beyond LSA that have been dumbed down for LSA. And you just kind of look at that and kind of go, okay, well, you know, good luck with that. LSA was a bit more healthy than GA, which is not a whole lot to say at this stage of the game for 2009. We see 2010 being a good year for LSA and light sport. I think it's a year when it's starting to mature, despite the fact that we still have an industry that doesn't know what to do with it. Associations that in the past either ignored it, tried to destroy it, or take credit for everything when in fact they had very little to do with it. And then, of course, ultimately an economy that did its best to to keep it down on the farm, if you will. We're you know, somewhat optimistic for 2010. I think 11 is going to be a much better year in keeping with the fact that we're hoping for, you know, a better economy by then as well. One of the things that I think is going to help a shakeout on this is that I'm really not happy with the amateurish nonsense that is being written about LSA, detailed about LSA by people who don't fly them, don't know what they are, can barely spell aileron, and in many cases are doing nothing but parroting the press release that explains how the aircraft flew off the drawing board. In many cases, that's the only thing it did fly off of. Last week, ANN disclosed, somewhat vague at this point because we're open to all suggestions, but we talked about an LSA challenge series, where in league with some of the best flight instructors, pilots, and technical people we know, and with an eye toward really spending some quality time with two or three subject aircraft over the course of a long work week, putting them all in one place, putting together a committee of people, flying them, kicking the tires, so to speak, taking them apart a little bit, figuring out how do you change the oil, how do you get access to putting air in tires, how to do all the little things that after you become an owner, you realize that some of these things really weren't designed that well.
Mm-hmm.
But getting a really solid look at something, to have people in the flight training industry look at how suitable these are for a true flight training environment or cross country, and whether or not they meet the original specs and analyses that were put forth in the ASTM guidelines that ultimately resulted in a quote unquote certification process that the FAA recognizes for the LSA community. So the LSA challenge, we've had a lot of feedback on it and from some truly gifted flyers and technical experts. And, we're already putting together what I think is going to be an arduous but discerning program that once it's all done, people are going to get a good solid feel for what they are, what they aren't, and ultimately what aircraft they should buy. So we're taking that very seriously, and it's obvious from a lot of folks that we talk to here that they understand that, yeah, this is a real deal, and maybe it's time to fess up, put our aircraft on the line, and strut our stuff on an equal footing. Because one of the things that is fun is that there's a couple of manufacturers who have not liked being part of an industry where they're compared to everybody else best based on the hype quotient, and they're really actually anxious for us to tear into their aircraft, fly the heck out of them, take them apart, bunch of takeoffs, bunch of landings, bunch of this, bunch of that, just really get into them because they think their aircraft are going to do very, very well. And I think that says a lot for those manufacturers that are lining up to be the first to go.
Well, great timing on the announcement. I'm sure it's going to provide some fodder for some fascinating conversations for the rest of your weekend.
It's we're having a lot of fun with it. We really are. And this industry just really deserves solid quantitative information. I mean, years ago when I put together the Sport Plane Resource Guide over a community that was full of, at one point we counted 800 designs. And the community could not keep up with that. And, you know, there are a lot of hopeful designs where people are putting their heart and soul in it, and maybe it would work, maybe it wouldn't. And then there were also a few scam artists. But just as negative was the fact that there's some really super aircraft that were getting drowned out in all the hype produced by 800 designs and struggling to make their aircraft known. So by taking the BS out of it and taking the a solid quantitative committee analysis, which will be fully transparent, highly documented, a lot of this will be long arrow TV pieces, things of that nature. I think we're going to be able to give people an awful lot of insight as we discover, you know, the ins and outs of these individual airplanes. And let's face it, people know, especially with our rep for getting into trouble in the past, that if we don't like something, we're going to tell them.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to it. Have a great weekend at the Sport Expo, and we will try and catch up with you next week and get a wrap.
You bet. I'll look forward to it, Paul.
You can find out more about the Piper Sport in extensive coverage on our website, dated January 21st, at aero-tv.net or at piper.com. Jim Campbell is ANN's editor-in-chief. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.